Kim. We love you. We value you. Appreciate you. Do you need this? No. Okay.
Hello. Hello. Hi. G'day. So David asked me to preach on kingdom risk, and in retrospect, probably what I should have done is get some scriptures and unpack them and analyze them for you. But what I've actually done is I've come along with a testimony, so I hope that's okay. Ever since I was a child, I've always been very risk-averse. My motto was always, if you can't do something well, don't do it at all. I was good at computer programming, so I did that a lot. I was okay at technical writing, so I did that a little bit. And if there was anything that I couldn't practice at home on my own until I was good at it, then I didn't want to do that at all. Like, that was out of my reach. And that's how I was for many years. And then one day, a couple of years ago, God did something amazing and wonderful for me, and I got made redundant. The job that I'd been working at was pretty stressful, so I needed the holiday, so that was good. But after a month or two of just sitting around and decompressing and relaxing, I figured I probably should be doing something useful with all my new free time. So I prayed for what I could be doing, something computer programming related that I could do to make the world a better place. And I felt God saying to me, do the very best work you can, and it will come to nothing. It wasn't like a threat or, you're not going to do as well as you hoped sort of thing, but just, do the best you can, and I promise nothing will come of it. Which seemed kind of a strange thing for God to say, but, while I'd been working, I had built up this great stack of project ideas that I wanted to do when I had some free time. So I picked the best one, the most useful one that I could think of, and I, worked on it to the best of my ability, and I uploaded it to the internet for people to look at, and sure enough, not a single person on the planet paid any attention whatsoever. So I was kind of stuck. Like, I had my thing that I did, computer programming, and I'd done it as best I could, and that wasn't helping. That wasn't progress. So what do I do instead? I prayed for God to reveal more computer programming related tasks for me to do, and waited and sat. And while I sat and waited, I watched videos on the internet. But one of those videos that I watched on the internet was a bunch of people playing a game called Dungeons and Dragons. I didn't know anything about it at the time, but seemed like an interesting story that they were having, so I kept watching, like you'd watch a TV show. And as I kept watching, I realized the game actually looked kind of fun. It wasn't computer programming related, and it wasn't technical writing, and it definitely wasn't something that I could practice at home on my own. So it took me a while to admit to myself that it was fun. But eventually I came around to the idea that, these people were having a good time, and if I ever got the opportunity to do something like that, even though I hadn't practiced, even though it wasn't something that was in my comfort zone, I should probably, take them up on it and have a go. And now, I don't know if you're familiar with the game of Dungeons and Dragons, but it's a game where a bunch of people come together to tell a story together. One of the people is like a facilitator or a referee, and they come up with the setting of the story, a fictional world for the players to explore and enjoy. And as I watch these people play, I realize that that's a little bit like the way God came up with this world for us to explore and enjoy. And in Dungeons and Dragons, the facilitator adds all sorts of risks and obstacles into that world for to keep the story interesting and to give the players a challenge and to give them something to overcome so they can grow to their full potential. And it occurred to me that that's like the way God allows hazards and obstacles in our lives to give us challenges to overcome and to help us grow to our full potential. And I realized if I ever wanted to explain Christianity to someone, not just like to give them a dictionary definition, but to give them like an experience of how the whole thing actually worked, then playing Dungeons and Dragons with them would probably be a really good first step. There's thousands of people playing Dungeons and Dragons every day all over the world, not like people looking into Christianity, but just non-Christians playing it for fun. And it occurred to me that, if a church ran a Dungeons and Dragons night, inviting people from the community to come in and participate, that would be a good way to build links into the community. And it would also be a really good way, like if somebody had a question about Christianity, you could answer it from the experience they'd just had. So I had this cool idea for like a Dungeons and Dragons outreach, but again, I was a computer programmer, not a church leader, so what was I going to do with an idea like that? But I never really forgot the idea. It was always just hanging around in the back of my mind. I mentioned it to my parents, who encouraged me to bring it up at the church I was at the time. At the time, I was going to the Link Church, and I knew someone who was on the leadership team, so I mentioned it to them, and they mentioned it at, they thought it was okay. They mentioned it at a leadership meeting, and other people thought it was interesting. I got into an email with a lead pastor about, what this thing would actually be and how it might possibly work. And then the lead pastor had a death in the family, so, he wasn't really answering his emails. And then they announced that the Link Hornsby was going to shut down, so, that was another avenue closed off. And then I had a death in my family, so I wasn't answering emails for a while. And the whole outreach idea sort of fell by the wayside. Then, another church, like the Link Church Hornsby shut down, and another church you might have heard of called The Hive came into the same auditorium where the Link Church had been. So I started coming to The Hive Church, and I met Pastor David, and I told him about my crazy idea for a D&D outreach, and he was appreciative and encouraging. But he's a very smart guy. And one of the first questions he asked me was, okay, so Dungeons and Dragons requires, 3 to 6 players, and there's only one of you, so where are the other people going to come from? And I didn't really have an answer to that. We had talked about it, but we didn't have a obvious way forward. And again, let it sit for a while, get used to the idea. And then one day, Pastor David came to me. He'd been talking with other pastors, and apparently there was a group at Waitara Anglican who were doing not the same thing I wanted to do, but something vaguely similar. They were playing Dungeons and Dragons in a church, every week. We got introduced to one of the leaders there, and for the past couple of weeks, every Tuesday evening, I've been going over there and playing in a game, which I never thought I'd have the chance to do, and learning, meeting people and getting to know them and learning about how the thing actually works in reality and learning about what goes on behind the scenes and having all these learning experiences for that I'm sure will come in super useful one day. I still don't have a concrete plan for how to start this outreach-based thing, but I think I'm on the right path. I'm having, like I said, all sorts of new experiences and learning. And at the moment, I think I'm doing about as much as I can, but I trust that in God in the future, things will change, circumstances will arise, and new opportunities will show up, and then maybe I will finally get to do that cool thing that I thought of. So this was supposed to be a sermon, so we should probably look at the Bible a little bit before we wrap up. I just want to point out very, very old verse that I'm sure you all know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And the part I want to emphasize today is, seek first the kingdom of God. All of it, not just the part that's easy to get to or the part that's comfortable to be in. Don't just seek the parts that you've been to before. All of it. Even the parts that are strange or weird, especially the parts that are strange or weird. Don't say, you know, that's just something I do to relax. It's not a real ministry. Don't say, hey, God's not interested in that part of my life, because God sent his only son to die on the cross for your life, so he's interested in all of it. So seek first the kingdom of God, whatever it is God's got for you. And when you find a part of the kingdom, seek the next part and the next part. No matter how strange or unexpected your path is, keep seeking, because that's the way forward.
That is so good, Tim. Tim didn't say everything, but I want this probably is a bit loud. But he took risks in that journey. He took big risks that were really hard, and he had to depend on God to move forward with this. So well done, Tim. I'm very proud of you, because if we don't move, it's got to be an action to an idea or faith. We've got to move on things, don't we? Okay, so mine's is test. I want the stool press, please. The stool. Risk. Kingdom risk. See, sometimes God requires this of us because there's so much he's wanting to do in the kingdom. And if we all stay in our small little wee place... Oh, right. I'm a left-hander now. but at any rate, mine's partly testimony too. Well, it is a testimony. We're talking about some... I'm going to talk about some of my earlier and up-to-date walk with God in the uncomfortable, following by faith in the unknown and the untested. Do you know what? This makes life interesting. You know, don't be bored. Get into it. It makes life interesting. Romans 8, 28 to 29 says, and I'm going to make this personalised. So I am convinced that every detail of my life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into my life. For I am his lover, who has been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about me before I was born, and he destined me from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. So God is continually weaving together in my life so that I can fulfill the designed purpose that he has for me. So, you know, Elaine, you do weaving, I think. Do you do weaving? What is it? Spinning. Oh, well, something. Yeah, it's weaving. He weaves all the time. God is weaving all the time. He never goes off the job. He's always in and out of our lives, because he has a design purpose and he wants to bring it out. He wants to bring it through. And you might be saying, well, if his design purpose is scary, what if it's scary? What if it's out of the box, you know, out of the norm? What if it's unrealistic? That's ridiculous. How can that possibly happen? What if he can't make sense of it? It just seems like a blur. I mean, that first statement that God said to, the Holy Spirit said to Tim, didn't make sense. How can I be sure? Stretch. Oh, how painful is that? We're walking up 6 stories of steps at the moment still because our lift is out. That is a stretch. And I can tell you it is downright painful. What if it doesn't look good and feel good? Sometimes we push into things and we think, oh my gosh, is this right? Doesn't look all right. Doesn't feel that good. And maybe there's doubts and fears. But you know what? There can be risk-taking in the kingdom. Just like anywhere, I guess, there can be hardships and suffering. There can be disappointments. There can be, we can get wrongly treated. We can know that God will work in the middle of all of that situation to fill what? His designed purpose. There is a designed purpose for us. And the situation may or may not be directly changed by God. You know, that still may be stressful. and it may not make sense, but if you've heard and you know that God's wanting you to step out, like Tim has, he will guarantee ultimate God results, good results, including maturing of our character. Now, maturity of our character sometimes feels like going upstairs to those who are called. This is like not a red alert, but as highlighted. The success rate of this verse must be kept in union with our participation with the Holy Spirit. So we must be connecting with God. We must be hearing his voice. We must keep checking in. But when he speaks, he usually does not change his mind. I very rarely have found God ever change his mind. I might kick around and struggle and say I don't like the feel. Okay, so now I'm going to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. Now, surely you want that. I want that. I want more than what I can just think, what I've just experienced. There is more for all of us. And it goes on to say, but God now unveils these profound realities to us. How by? Looking on Google? Looking up every source of information? By his Spirit. That's where we find this out. That's who speaks to us. Once we get the word, once we hear, well, then we might need a lot of the information. Yes, he has revealed to us his innermost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit who constantly explores all things. Well, that excites me. I feel excited because there is more. And I think Kingdom Risk is worth, if you haven't been part of it, it's worth hearing about. It's worth doing. God is there for us. He's covering us. He's protecting us. He's strengthening us. And he loves the unusual ideas, I'm telling you. Right, so I'm going to go into testimony zone now and tell you a little bit of how I have heard and proved this in my own life. So in my mid-20s, I wanted to find out if God was who he said he was. You know, I was brought up in a conservative church, and every time I went there, I felt like I just attended a funeral service. But I, in me and my personality and what I'd experienced, I was excited. And it was always down, boy, down, sort of. Down, girl, down. And shush, you know. But I wanted to find out. So I decided to go on a trip around the world, as you do. So I got myself all organised. I travelled for 12 months and it was a huge step. I'd never been... You know, I'd been in it's not a huge area. I'd been in the same church, a lot of good friends, but same friends. So for me, it was a big step to get into that aeroplane and go off by myself overseas. And I mean, I was so green. I dressed as if I was entering into a blizzard. I had so many warm, pure wool clothes because I'm going to England, but I didn't realise planes are so jolly hot. And I had these long boots on, my feet were swelling like crazy. I was too shy, can you imagine it, to push out over the seat so I can go to the toilet. I went to the toilet about once in about 28 hours. Oh, my goodness. It was huge for me. It was unknown. It was scary. And even the people sitting in the plane by me was scary because I'd never experienced it before, but I was stepping out. Then my connection with God was I took a book called The Lord's My Shepherd by Keith Keller. And I read that sentence by sentence by sentence by sentence. And that is who it was through that book, through God's word, that kept me focused here and there on that journey about him answering that big question that I had. I lived in England, went all around Britain and worked in London, backpacked all around Europe and Israel, even ended up in Sinai Desert, which was the end of the earth and was a dangerous place to be, let me assure you. And and I was there with a girlfriend and I couldn't believe it because I looked out and we were in a nudist camp. Now, here's this little protected girl, hardly knew a thing, and we're in this jolly nudist camp. Oh, I mean, I was freaking out, and I was sick. I got giardia, and so I was in and out, and, you know, these Bedouins would come, because we were in little huts, just palm leaves. These Bedouins would come up, and you could see their beady eyes. They wouldn't touch us, but they wanted our stuff. So it was like God protected us because I had to get up all the time. And we were out of there before you can, you know, I was out. I said, right, I'm getting out of here. There was somebody leaving. It's 7:30 in the morning. I was out of there, back to Eilat, up to Tel Aviv. And then when we tried to get out of the country, we'd been there for weeks, tried to get out of the country, we said, we're with Eilat Airlines. And they said, oh, yeah, up there. We tore up there. And, of course, it wasn't up there. It took us so long to find out where in the heck it was. We missed our plane. So you can understand, even within the journey, which had lots of fun, which I adored, because there was a change a minute. You know, I was in one country one day and the next day I was in the next country. I loved it. But there was also huge stretch, lots of risk taking, and lots of, God, help me, where are you? So that was a new experience for me. I'd lived with a lot of spiritual props and great family. So it was a building me. It was growing me. Every part was weaving into me. Right. So then I came to Florence and there were these big copper doors and they huge. And one lot of copper doors had Bible stories on it. And I was looking at it thinking, wonder what they are. Oh, do I know those stories? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clear as a bell. And he said, you finish Eve, your holiday. When you go home, go to Bible college. You will get married. You will have children. And you will preach to the ends of the earth. And I suppose I didn't really take it, fully appreciate at all that he'd just given me my life story in front of me. But at any rate, the bit I did know, I had to go home eventually. And I went to Bible college 12 months after. It took me 12 months to wind up to it. Because that was another big step. Bible college. Do I really need to go to Bible college? Do I want to go to Bible college? No, I didn't want to go to Bible college. So at any rate, off I went. There were 35 students in that year. And there was quite a group from Adelaide. And in our second year, it was 3 terms we did, 8 subjects a term. We studied, we did exams. It was very focused, you know. And you were not allowed to have relationships. You weren't allowed to have a relationship. And in the second year, I was elected to be head student of the women, and David Nathan was head student of the men. So God was continuing to weave a risky kingdom story, right? So we, 3 months after we graduated, we were engaged and we were married. And it was in February, so we've just celebrated our 37th year together. Woohoo! Yes-em and yes-em. So that's why that's in front of my memory, because God, that was the beginning of the rest of my life. And it was through the risk that I took, through that desire to find out, and I did find out, I did totally find out who God was, and I've never looked back. I've just never looked back. I've made a decision, and through those experiences, I have no doubt in the world who the God that I love is. So now I'm going to take you into an up-to-date story with music and motion. So what this is about is risk. Are we risk-taking for the kingdom? What does that look like? How can we do it? Will God turn up? So I got a whisper, just a whisper. Eve, you're surrounded with, it was after we moved here, you're surrounded with all these units. You need to reach families. And that's what came into my head, was this mainly music. That's what was around, I knew about, was mainly music. And, can you just get my diaries out, darling, please, out of my bag? And I just look back to see where I first made any notes about music, and motion. And it was September. Oh, you would have thought I'd marked this. I thought I did, but didn't you, right? September. Here we go. I did. But anyway. So here it is. And I don't normally write all this sort of stuff in my diary, right? It's usually a journal type thing. But I wrote it in my diary, and it was on the 16th of September 2019. And I must have been listening to something as well, and it says, don't be a wind watcher, but a word walker. So it's a story of the storm and the disciples being fearful in the boat. And he says, don't be a wind watcher, be a word walker. And I thought, okay. Wind didn't die down until he got in the boat. So if you're thinking that everything's going to be organised, simple, come easily with this idea that I've given you and seeded you with, no, the wind doesn't stop necessarily, you know, before you start and step. Wind doesn't have to stop to see God's glory. So I thought, do you know what? I've got to move. I've got to do an action, because it said, the voice said, come. In that story, that's an action. So I needed to do an action. So it's trusting God in uncertainty. So this is what I've still written in this diary. Trusting God in uncertainty. Don't overthink it, Eve. Do it scared. Are you going to go to fear, or are you going to go to faith? And it said, then I wrote in the big letters, you have spoken, I know it so. I'm thinking, wow. So that was the beginning. On the 21st of September, I started to speak it out. That's when I started to tell people. I've written it down. So we knew a girl who had done this in one of the churches up at the coast, and she'd done it for 10 years, and she turned to me and she said, Eve, don't even think of starting a program like that without already having a team. And I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't got a team, and I can't even know, I wouldn't have a clue where I'm going to get a team. But I still had this feeling that I must do a step. I'm starting to speak it out. I needed to start stepping it out. So I asked Hilda. Hilda was the first one. I mean, pretty unlikely. But I said to Hilda, would you be interested in being part of this music and motion program? And she said, yes. I was blown away. I can't tell you what that did for me. My faith soared. I thought, this is a person out of the blue. She hardly knows me, and she's going to be prepared to do it. And she told me last week she had this enormous name tag on it. And Elizabeth has a bit of a joke with it. She said, look, you can jolly well take that tag off. You know, it's enormous. And she said, oh, this was my BSF tag. And I said, oh, did you go to BSF? And she said, yes, until this year. She said, because I wanted to be here. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, you spoke. And she took a risk. Thank you, Hilda, because it's the first one's the most important one. I mean, you've got to get one yes. Let's have one yes. So then I asked Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says she had already been spoken to by God primarily for this Hives Kids. That was what God had spoken to her first about. But she said, this is an extension of that. Yes, I believe that's where I want to be part of that. Oh, wow, thank you, Lord. That's two you've moved on, even before I even asked them. Then I asked Donna. And Donna said to me, she said, we had a big prayer meeting at the beginning of the year, and she said, when I was in that prayer meeting, I felt God say, Donna, if Eve asks you to be part of that program, I want you to say yes. Woohoo! God, thank you. You're working on my behalf. Oh, wow, that was so incredible. I asked Jeff if he'd be a male presence and be part of the technical side, and he said, yes. Oh, my gosh. So I had a team, so I had to keep moving. It's no good saying, well, geez, not to have a team. Then I had to get my head around it all, and it was a lot of work, a lot of pushing through, a lot of keeping at it on the front foot. We had to get all these instruments. Some were given to us, some were secondhand shops, some we bought and got half price, some mats were given. We saw miracles happening in the preparation of it. PCY said we could have this room, and now, was there pushback? Yes, there was. I felt a lot of pushback coming into this program. There were challenges. The first one that I was Hilda sprained her ankle really badly. I thought, oh no, don't say my first yes is not going to be able to say yes. She's going to be able to say no. So we prayed over that ankle, my gosh. And then I got sick. From the moment I started to speak this out in about October, I haven't been sick for years. I never get sick. I started to get sick. And then I sort of, wouldn't go away. I sort of got better at Christmas time. And then after my first team meeting down here at PCYC, I went home to bed and I ended up in hospital. I got really sick. So you've got to understand, there's another power that wants to work against God's kingdom risk-taking. He hates it. He frothes at the mouth and he doesn't want it. And it was all about my throat and my being able to speak. See, he doesn't want us to speak. He doesn't want us to move. He wants us to be sick. Well, my gosh, I had to get over that. So we pushed through that. And then we had, we had to get music's technical. I'm not technical. I might be able to put my hand up and say yes, but I'm not technical. I'm hopeless. I wish I wasn't. I so wish I wasn't. But anyway, we had to marry up this New Zealand music program that I'd bought into to the screen with words to be able to get the music through the sound. Oh, it was so hard. And I'd have Aileen, I'd bail her up and we'd be there for 2 hours trying to work this thing out. And we'd get so far. But that helped us to get to Tim. So we go to Tim. We bail him up. We had another, I don't know how many hours, and he helped us another step. Then, Richard, can you help us? Because now we can't seem to get the sound happening. We've got the words, we've got no sound. Oh, that side of it exhausts me. But I knew it was the centre of the thing. If you have no sound, if you have no music, well, how can you do music and motion? So we had to really push through on that, and it was a team effort. This is what the body's about. It was a team effort. Robin has been in part of it. She's been the bunny rabbit and the zoom zoom and everything else in front of us. And in this room, they've never allowed us to have any food or eating. So on our first meeting, I darted over, I saw the manager, and I said to him, can we have the kids have something? And he said, yes. Can you believe it? He said, we could do it. It's so much better. We couldn't do it if we have to move rooms. So that was another great big push through on our miracle list. Storage. It's another nightmare. So David put up and we got these special tubs. And then there was still no room for our tubs. And anyway, the manager said, yes, well, you could move one more cupboard. You might think, oh, so what? This is boring. This is miracles. These are miracles. We can't have tubs sticking in nowhere and we can't move them out of here, surely. So we got this space that wide where we got all our tubs on wheels, on a set of wheels. What do you call them? No. Anyway, don't worry. I like the name of it. These tubs are on wheels and it just fits in this new little space. Can you believe that? Everything is fitting in that space. I'm so grateful, and I'm grateful for David because he had to sweat. And who else was it? Eric and Lyndon. That's right. See, everybody's been part of this. Not everybody, but a lot of people have been part of this. It's fantastic. Then we had the virus. Should we start? Is it safe? Is it wise? All that sort of... So we had to move through that. And then there was the storm. Is PCYC flooded? It was the Sunday before we started on the Tuesday. We drove past here to see if PCYC had the lights on. Because if we don't do it, that's huge if we can't proceed. And at any rate, I want to tell you, it is a miracle. We are seeing girls coming who are loving it, who are talking to each other, who are building relationships with each other. They can't believe it. A girl and a mum came last week. They're just saying, oh, this is incredible. This is amazing. We can just feel the vibe in here. It's so accepting and loving. See, they don't understand what they're seeing, but we do. And we're providing this environment for them to bring their children in. And my big favourite part, actually, is getting the conversations happening in the morning tea time, hearing about them, you know. May, she has nobody here, no infrastructure, no support. Anna and Beau, who were here last week, they haven't, and Anna was there with her two little children. It was fantastic. We could go on, and this one of these little boys was walking out saying, "Oh, Mum, this was terrific. Oh, I loved it here." And apparently they took him to the library to some reading, and she says, "Oh, that was an absolute disaster." Well, you can imagine this little boy had more energy than you could hold down on a seat, and, you know, so it wouldn't work for him. So I'm excited about what happens when we action into a risk area, because God, you will be on the coal front. You'll be on the edge. You'll be when you haven't, or maybe nobody has been before. But if God has whispered, if God has spoken, I encourage you to move. Now, Psalm 32, I just want to finish on. I hear the Lord saying, "I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway of your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn. When I take you where you've not been before, don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me." And that's what my encouragement to us is. I have been, and I've got trillions of other experiences. Come with us. Come with it. Go into the kingdom risk area. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is there you want to do? And it might be the smallest thing, but for you, it's different. It's new. It's something you haven't done. And you will watch and find that thing totally explode into something amazing. Thank you, Dahl.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Thanks, Tim, as well, hey? Yeah. It was... But most of all, I want us just to thank Jesus this morning. He's at work in this space. And, you know, sometimes we can hear stories and think to ourselves, you know, all this, they're just talking about themselves, but they're not really. Eve and Tim were giving glory to Jesus this morning, right? Because his story is influencing our story. And I just want to encourage us all this morning. In the Great Commission, which is what Matthew 28 is called, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." And you know what? Going to church is not going. That doesn't qualify as part of what Jesus was saying when he said go. Yeah, are you with me? Jesus actually was saying go from here into all the world. And I feel passionately in my heart, I just want to speak this out, that the Lord has said over us as a church community this year, this is a whole new act. This is a different time. There's something distinctive about these days that we are in. And I believe part of that is what we're seeing happening amongst us, where God's actually speaking to individuals about how they can go, how they can be part of a body and from the body go and grow the community, reach people, share the love of Jesus. And I believe he's doing the same thing to each of you. I so passionately believe that we're going to see this year new things come, not out of the pastors saying, "This is an idea I have, would you go and do it?" It's quite different. Tim is a fantastic example, so is Eve. We didn't have a leadership conversation to say, you know, "We have this idea, Tim, would you do D&D? We didn't have a leadership meeting, Eve and I, and saying, "We need to reach kids, would you do music in motion?" No, the Holy Spirit spoke. And then from there, there was a going. And that is all of our stories this morning. And I just look around this room and I see so much potential in every single one of you. I see so much that I know is in you. And I know that sometimes the difference between staying and going does come down to, will I go to a place I have not been before. That is kingdom risk. Do you understand? Going where we have not been, going to the unfamiliar, going to the new is risky. But the safest place we can be is to go where Jesus is calling us. And I love that scripture that Eve quoted in Psalms, come unto me. So can we just close our eyes and just for a moment, I want to ask you, Holy Spirit, would you just move around the room? Would you connect to hearts just right now? We worship you, Jesus. You're a good shepherd. You're a good shepherd and you speak. And the Bible says it's a promise for everyone in the room. If you are saying to yourself, David, I don't often hear God's voice. I'm not even sure God's ever spoken to me. Well, there's a promise for you. It's Jesus' very words. He says, my sheep know my voice. And sometimes the first step in kingdom risk, it is the first step, is actually to say yes to Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. That's always the first step. That's risky. That's going a place we have not been before, to trust our heart, trust our life with our Lord and Saviour and give ourselves away. That is incredibly risky, but that's the first step. And I don't know if you have ever taken that step. I have some New Testaments here, the Gospel of Mark, and some things that explain the Christian message and explain that going. And I'd love you to come and talk to me afterwards if you are actually have never taken that step. Talk to myself or Eve or somebody else on the team. But can we stand for a moment? And as we stand, I want to invite you just to ask God, where is it that you want me to go? What is it that you have put in my heart? Maybe you've never heard anything, but if this morning you've been a little bit inspired, hopefully a lot inspired by the stories you've heard, Jesus, would you speak now? Would you release seeds of ideas and visions and wonderful opportunities that exist? Would you take us as a church community into that new act? And we glorify in you today, Jesus, don't we, family? We glorify in you. Come on, let's worship him. Jesus, yes, there's a foe, but that foe is defeated. And Jesus, you conquered hell and death on the cross. You conquered the grave. You are a risen Saviour. We thank you. We have nothing to fear. We thank you, Jesus, that you have conquered fear. And so we just release right now, God, a spirit of peace over every single heart, and we release you, Jesus, by your mighty power to speak and to touch our hearts and to just continue to open up this whole new act for us. God, we pray a big blessing, God, over Tim and over the vision for Dungeons and Dragons and a ministry that can reach that part of, God, the community that's out there. And Father, we speak faith and we speak an endurance into you, Tim, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving and you're drawing together just like Eve experienced. There is already people out there who are ready to be asked, ready to be approached with their yes. I thank you, God, you always provide. I thank you, Jesus, you finished your work on the cross, and because of that, we can be finishers. So I thank you for a finishing work, God, over what Tim has in his heart. God, I thank you for a mighty blessing on Music in Motion. Thank you, God, for a blessing over the ministry of the Bedford. But God, more than that, I thank you right now for every single person in the room, no exceptions. God, no exceptions, no exceptions. Every single one of us, God, gifted, God, called in the mighty name of Jesus. God, empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God, with that birthright to receive your voice. So speak. Speak right now, Jesus. Speak. Speak, I ask you. Release your word. Release your word. Release your word. Release your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you so much. We love you. Thank you, Lord. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. That's awesome. We're going to have coffee soon. And so I encourage us as a church community, there's a few things you need to get alongside of a few people as we have coffee. You need to get alongside of Simone up the back there. Simone's going to have a baby any day.